You can open up your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to be reading verses 16 and 18. God is good all the time, isn't He? And all the time, God is good. Amen. See, because what moves God and moves Him is our faith. Our faith and trust in Him. And He always wants us to be cheerful. Yes, He wants us to be cheerful. And He wants us to be thankful. Thankful. So if you're there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, now I'm going to read it to you from the Message Bible. Be cheerful no matter what. Verse 17, pray all the time. Verse 18, thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. He wants you to be cheerful. He wants you to be thankful. See, the Apostle Paul was not saying that we should thank God for everything that happens to us, but in everything. Everything. Be thankful. Thankful for God's presence. And for the good that He will accomplish through the situation or the distress that you are in. Because in Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6, the Amplified Classic Edition, it says, for He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. That's God saying that. Assuredly not. Verse 6. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, and you can say this with me. The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Nothing. Trusting in the Almighty God. Because He says He will not leave you helpless. He will not forsake you. He's not going to let you down. He's got a hold of you. He's got a hold of you. You know what happens though a lot of times? We do this. Ah. And that's what He does. Ah. But His hand is still there waiting for you to reach it. Let me read you a couple quotes. And you may have heard them before. Okay? First one is, you will never be happier than you expect. To change your happiness, change your expectation. Here's one. Getting old ain't no place for sissies. These are quotes by the late actress Betty Davis. You know, and I agree, getting old ain't for sissies, you know. And probably there's a lot of you who have laughed, said, and you know, I agree with that. It ain't. Even though the older we get, sometimes the more our bodies may want to feel that way, it's really contrary to what the Bible says. And even though sometimes you may not always feel like what the Bible says to do, reality is, not doing what it says has a huge impact that can be noticed on a daily basis. Also, what we speak, what comes out of our mouths. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to look to verse 11. And see what Jesus has to say. I'm going to read the last part of verse 10, though. He says, hear and understand. Okay? He's speaking to all of us. Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Now, if you will drop down, you will see there in verse 15, or chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart. And that defiles a man. So it comes out of your heart. Jesus wanted to make sure he made that clear. So what comes out of your mouth is what comes into your life. See, the devil doesn't know what today holds for you. No. Until he hears you proclaim what today holds for you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Now we're going to read verses 20 and 21. Proverbs 18. Verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. What are you producing? Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now in Proverbs 12, verse 14, part A, it says, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. So what kind of fruit is coming out of your mouth? Is it good fruit or is it rotten fruit? Sounds a little bit like whatsoever a man sows, that he shall reap. Does it not? See, in every day, every one of us make a choice. Will we claim what God's Word says for us today? With long life, He will satisfy me. Or will we accept what we feel and see? It's up to you. Every day we wake up with a choice. Joshua chapter 24. See what Joshua has to say. Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Simply said, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Will it be God or will it be man? Choice. It's up to you. It's your choice. But see, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Every day we should start by speaking God's word. I do. Every day I get up. And this is one of the things I say each and every day that I get up. Turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Psalm 118. Did I say that right? 118. Okay. And I want to look at verse 24. Verse 24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. But you know how I say it? And we should say it this way. This is the day that the Lord has made.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
And I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's your choice. It's your choice to say that. When you make it personal, it's God's word. This day is the day that the Lord has made. And His mercy and grace, His love and favor, they are renewed every morning of each and every day. They are afresh every morning. And I remember when I used to stay at a friend's house in the summertime, and they had a farm. And afresh was every morning, okay, you ready for breakfast? You went down to the chicken coop and you got the eggs. You talk about fresh. They were fresh every morning when I stayed out there with them. When you speak His word, this will start your day off with a positive outlook for the day. So positive thoughts will bring about positive speaking. And positive speaking will in turn bring about positive thoughts, which result in positive things happening for you. So that just means that negative thoughts bring about negative speaking. And negative speaking brings about negative thoughts. And what are you going to end up with? Negative results. That's pretty cut and dry, pretty easy. I'm going to be positive. So how many of you like those positive results? Come on, I do. And I know that each and every one of you do. So start your day off positively with His word coming out of your mouths. Yeah. You're there in Psalm, look to verse 37. Psalm 37, and look to verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man and a good woman are ordered by the Lord, and God delights in their way. God delights in their way. And then the next verse, this is how it should be read. Though I fall, I shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds me with His hand. That's how you say it. That's how you speak God's word. You make it positive. God gave us His word to speak, and we must speak it. And when we do that, we are to be cheerful no matter what happens. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. You see, you can either focus on the problems in your life, or you can focus on the blessings. The question is, do you want more problems or do you want more blessings? Well, obviously, everyone wants more blessings in their lives, right? They want their prayers to be answered, and they want their needs to be met. You know, and every one of us already have access to the abundant life that God has promised. The question is, are we participating in it? Again, it's your choice. Now, we need to be aware of one thing here every day, that there is a devil. And he goes about seeking whom he may destroy. And you don't think he's coming after us? We got to be aware. He will attack us. He will attack us on all different fronts. He will attack us in our finances. He will attack us in our physical bodies. He will attack our loved ones. He will attack our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. So we have to be always on the guard, pleading the blood over that and those things and our children. Amen? It's the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus even told us that the devil's out to do three things. And what are they? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he's the one. He's the one we should be warring our war against in terror. Because it all stems from him. And don't be sitting back saying, I can relax now. I don't need to get in the Word today. I don't need to speak His Word. And guess what? Man! Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to look at Peter walking on the water. Matthew 14. And we're going to, let's see, we'll start right here with verse 24. But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, his disciples, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out with fear. Now, you got to imagine, Jesus is not right there where Denny's sitting at that distance. He's a little further away. And the wind's blowing. And them guys had all that long hair at the time, so it just kept getting in their eyes. Dean, you wouldn't have to worry about that. And the waves are flashing up and down. So it's obstructing their vision because he's quite a ways off. But they see this individual and they're thinking it's a ghost. But immediately, it says immediately, Jesus heard their cry. And he spoke to them saying, verse 27, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. You've heard that before, right? The angels use that quite often. The angel went down to see Mary. He told her she was blessed above all women and everything else. But he said, and she's probably going, "What?" He said, "Do not be afraid." Then the angel had to go to her fiance, Joseph, and talk to him. And when he appeared to him, what did he say to him? "Do not be afraid." What did the angel say to the shepherds? "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy. For today in the city of David is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Who do you think taught the angels say, "Do not be afraid"? I think Jesus taught them. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus replied, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And as I said, he wasn't as close as me to Denny right here. He was a ways off. He climbed down out of that boat. The wind is blowing, the waves are shaking, that's what it said back there. And he walked on the water. He walked a great distance, I feel, to Jesus. But in verse 30 it says, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Save me, Lord, save me.'" How many of us wait too long to say, "Jesus, Jesus, I need your help," because we try to do too many things on ourselves? Stop. As soon as you see trouble coming, go to Jesus. Don't wait, as you can't correct it. He can. You got to realize that, and you got to believe it in your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. I know, because it gets you in trouble. And immediately, verse 31, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, because they walked hand in hand back to the boat, the wind ceased. Did he speak to the wind? Mm-mm. Jesus never uttered a word. I think he gave it the eye. In our house, that was the thing. When my girls needed corrected, "Don't get the eye. Dad's going to give you it. Dad, give me the eye. Everybody calm down instead." And I believe that's what Jesus did. He just looked. Boom. That wind stopped. So at what point did Peter start sinking in the water? The moment he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started to think about what was going on around him. The wind and the waves whipping. Were the waves and the wind whipping when Jesus said, "Come"? Yeah, they were. But what was he focused on? He was focused on Jesus. But he took account of the situation he was in. Right? He got distracted. Don't get distracted. See, it's the same for us today. And that is not to be distracted. Distracted, especially by what's going on around us. Or by how we feel. Or what the accuser is lining up to do. Because the moment that we do that, we give the enemy that little place he needs to put his foot in the door. And then he'll set up camp. And you know what happens when someone sets up camp? They never want to leave. They never want to leave. That's what happens. Now you've got your job ahead of you where you got to try to kick him out, where you could have averted it in the first place. What we should be focused on is what we know to be factual and what is true, which is God's Word. What God's Word is on that subject. So we should always let the Word have the final authority. You've heard our pastor say that all these years. I just told Bob how blessed we are to have the man of God that we have had in this house for so long. Because he has taught us the Word. We have so much Word in us that we don't realize it until we talk to others and we say, "Wow, you didn't know that? You didn't believe this?" Well, that's what the Word says. Oh, really, they're saying? We have been taught well. Why do you think that God called him to be the head of this ministry, to be the senior pastor? He is the man that we go to. When we got a problem, you want prayer, you go to that man. Because he gets down and he prays. And he doesn't waver on his prayer. Mm-mm. Once he prays, he prays. And then he's thanking God because he knows that he's heard this and the answer's coming. So when we let that Word have the final authority, no matter what is happening, we are to be what? Be cheerful no matter what. See, God's got it. He's got it. Do you believe that? He's got it. Look to Psalms chapter 1, chapter 103. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, which is death, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Why an eagle? The eagle is the strongest, most fearless, and most majestic of all birds. At about 5 years of age, the eagle will go through a molting process where it loses most of its feathers, only to be replaced by new feathers. This gives the appearance of a renewed youth in the eagle. During this molting process, the eagle will look sickly and weak. But as the process completes, the eagle has the look and feel of renewed strength and energy. Why do you think the psalmist David used an eagle? That's what they knew. And that's what he could reflect on. But look to verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. God's benefits to us are amazing. In fact, they go beyond amazing. Right, Brother Nick? He forgives. He redeems. He crowns. He satisfies. He renews us. In fact, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because he recreates us. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Are you in Christ? You got Jesus in your heart? Then you're a new creation. You're a new creation in him. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all of his benefits, they're ongoing. They're not in a limited supply, but in a continual supply. Did you ever go to the vending machines and look at them vending machines? And they're filled and they got all these, and everything is full in that machine to choose what you want. Your wants, your needs, your desires are in there, but it costs you nothing. It's already been paid for. All those have been paid for. You just got to go up to that machine and be assured that you know when you push double D, you're going to get what you want. Amen. Timmy will let you in on that later. But the machine never goes empty. The same as his benefits, never run empty. Never run empty. His benefits. And how do we know that? Because it's true. It's in his word. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Verse 19. Everybody there? It says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. He loads us daily with those benefits. They're for ours for the using. Why are you leaving them lay there? Pick them up and start calling in those blessings. Start using them. Start using the blessings that are there for you to use. He wants to supply your wants, your needs, your desires. Yeah. The ERV, easy read version, it says this. Every day, he helps us with the loads we must carry. Because some days, we try to carry some heavy loads. And he says, come on, cast your cares this way. Put your burdens on me. And then when you say burdens, well, the NIV says, who daily bears our burdens. Burdens are things that are oppressive or worrisome to us. Okay? Oppressive. Weighing heavily on the mind or spirits, causing depression and discomfort. What was Pastor just ministering on? Depression and discomfort. How about worrisome? Worrisome is causing anxiety or concern. He bears our burdens daily. Daily. Not every other day, not once a week, but every day. Cast your burdens on Him. See, we need to praise Him at all times. And to thank Him no matter what happens. Now you're thinking, sometimes that's not easy. But I'm going to tell you from experience, life is a lot easier when you do it. And no one knew this better than David. Were there many issues in David's life? Only everything ranging from small ones to ones of giant proportion. David faced everything under the sun. He was a shepherd. He was a hero. He was hunted by Saul. He was a warrior, a king, a friend, an adulteress, a musician. He was a poet. But the thing that he was most remembered for was being a praiser, a lover of God, a man after God's own heart. Psalm 34 there. Here's what David says in verse 1. I will bless the Lord sometimes. No? See if you're paying attention. I will bless the Lord at all times, no matter what's happening, what's going on. David said, I'm going to bless the Lord all the time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What was in David's mouth continually? Praise. 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 You know, and you think about that. There was David back here. This time talking and trying to teach us how important it was to praise Him. And David demonstrated it in front of people. He worshiped and danced and praised, and people said, well, what's he doing? And guess what? He was not ashamed of praising and worshiping his God. No, he was not. Turn back to Hebrews 13, Hebrews chapter 13. And I want to look to verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15. This is what the writer of Hebrews said. Therefore, by Him, which is Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the, what? The fruit of our lips. Didn't we hear that somewhere before? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks to His name. See, it's easy to praise God when things are going good, isn't it? See, but when we choose to praise God in the situation that we were in, this is what brings Him honor. And this is what will deepen your faith. As it will grow deeper and deeper in Him. When you can praise Him in the situation, the circumstance that you are in. The fruit of our lips, thanksgiving and praise. David knew no matter what happened in his life, even the biggest set of circumstances was no match for God's amazing love and his abilities. How else could David have written such beautiful love songs to the Lord in the Psalms? Back to Psalms. Psalm 23. And we're going to read the whole psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before, in the presence of my enemies. Before me, He's making and setting up a plate. Can you imagine that? Especially somebody doing that for you and your enemies are sitting there. You ever said... I thought of that, and I looked around there. Yeah, they're all looking there, but they have no part of that. And you have such a peace knowing that the Lord has prepared that for you. The Lord has prepared that for you. I don't care. They can be all looking around, but they can't touch you. And they can't touch what's yours on that table that's prepared for you. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He knew that things were going to happen in his life, but as long as he chose to focus on the things of God, to not forget his benefits, everything would be all right. I love how the Message Bible says the last part of Psalm 23. It says, your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. See, that's how we should all want to be, with God's beauty and love chasing after us every day of our lives. So can you imagine God's beauty and love just nipping at your heels constantly? That's not some far-fetched notion. That's God's word and God's plan for your life. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's His plans for your life. The word says, everything you set your hand to will prosper. Well, this is how it happens, with God's beauty and love nipping at your heels, with His blessing hunting you out, looking for every opportunity to make good things happen in your life. Praise God. It's His favor. There you go. It's His favor. See, this is the way God wants us who belong to Jesus to live. He doesn't want us to be in want. No. Let's say that first verse together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The word want is translated to mean lack. He doesn't want you lacking anything. He is a God who loves us. He is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's our banner. He's our shepherd. He's our peace. He's our healer. Come on. Everything is covered. God's got it covered. He sent His Son who made sure that we could attain each and every one of them. When He went to that cross for us, that's what we ended up with. Because of Him. Because He loved us that much. And so we should love Him back that much. So if you're living constantly worried about what's happening or not happening in your life, because you think it's something you can control, you're sadly mistaken. You don't have it in control. I can speak from my own experiences. Times I thought I had it in control, I didn't. And when I went to God, He put it in control. He put it back in order. See, it's like Peter was when he took his eyes off Jesus, though. He got distracted and he sank. He sank. But he wasn't stupid. He said, "Save me, Lord." Boom, and up he came. See, you will never walk on the water. You will never experience all that God has for you as long as you make it about what you are capable of on your own. His grace and His love for you are the only thing that make anything possible. See, it's when you're able to praise and thank God and keep your eyes on Him in the midst of the storm, and then thank God and trust Him. Trust Him no matter what happens. That's when the impossible becomes the possible at that point. And He wants you to know that you can rest on Him and you can trust on Him that He will take care of it regardless of what it is. That means no matter what you are facing today, His grace is sufficient to meet your need. That's what He told the Apostle Paul. My grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient no matter what's going on in the world around you, no matter what anybody says, friend or foes, no matter what the media might be saying, no matter what the economic advisors are saying, no matter what your doctor is saying, no matter what your family might be saying, no matter what your body might be saying, no matter how loud it is talking to you, God's grace, love, His mercy, His beauty and love are chasing after us every day of our lives. Now listen very carefully to this. We don't fight for the victory today. We fight from Jesus' victory and what He has already accomplished for those who believe. Not by what we feel or see, but what we believe. And we should always be thanking and praising God because the victory has already been won. The blood has already been spilled. The blood of Jesus has already made us victorious over every situation. You need to take His hand and walk on the water with Him. Amen. And I will pick